Hello, my name is Harris Campbell. I'm 15 years old. Today is December 9th, and I'm speaking with Andrew Campbell, who is my father, and we're recording this in Los Gatos, California. So my first question is, can you tell me about the person who has been kindest to you in your life?
Person that's been kindest to me in my life?
Yeah.
Well, apart from my wife and my kids. My first boss was a guy called Bob Whale. Well, no, he wasn't my first boss, but he was my first boss after I'd graduated from university. And the company that I worked for was going through some austerity measures. And they put a memo out that said that no one was getting pay rises this year. And about 5 minutes after the memo went out and it landed in everybody's email box, he called me and he said, Andy, that doesn't refer to you. He said, we've got salary plans for you that are outside the normal HR salary plans. So he said, that doesn't affect you. You will be getting a pay rise this year. And I later found out that he just found out that I was getting married. And I just bought a house with my wife. So that was the first occurrence, and he was pretty good after that too. So I say he was one of the kindest people I've met.
Okay, cool. Moving on, can you tell me about one of your most difficult memories?
One of my most difficult memories? Gosh, I guess that's probably when my father was dying in England, and I was over here, and my sister was telling me what his situation was, and I was trying to book flights back. But before I was able to book a flight back, my sister called me and told me that he died.
So that was really tough for you. What are your hopes for me and for my children?
My hopes for my children is they become successful enough to keep us well in our old age.
Not that we're happy, just you're good when you're old.
Yep. I hope that they meet all their hopes and dreams, and they have some fairly lofty dreams, but I think they're both capable of achieving those. So.
Okay, and what about for your grandkids? Either me
for
or
my businesses. Grandkids, gosh. I hope that the planet is still healthy enough for them to live in.
Valid point. What is your best childhood memory?
My best childhood memory? Wow. Best childhood memory. I guess that would be... Well, there's quite a few, but I guess it was the holidays that we used to take down on farms in Cornwall. And I guess that was the best memories.
What would happen down in Cornwall?
Well, the farmer would take us out every morning, and he'd teach us how to milk cows, which wasn't a skill that I ended up using in life, but it was always good to learn. But I also learned from his son that you couldn't hold your hand on an electric fence for more than about 2 seconds.
I can see where I got that from. What's something in your life that you never imagined would happen?
That I'd get married and have 2 kids.
You never thought that would happen?
No.
What, no one would ever fall in love with you?
No, I thought plenty of people would fall in love with me, but I didn't think I'd find one that I would fall in love with and have 2 such great kids with.
Oh, okay. So that's been... 1 great kid. Lewis isn't quite there yet. Was there a moment, event, or person in your life who shaped your political views?
Gosh.
Yeah, because we're a very political family.
You know, it's interesting, because back in England, I had very different political views to the ones I have over here. And I think that's because the political structure in the UK is completely different. In England, they have a Conservative Party and a Labour Party, and there's no real equivalence over here. because the GOP is a lot more extreme on the right, and there's no equivalent of the Labour Party, which is like a union party in England. But I think in England, the person that helped me form my political views was Margaret Thatcher. But over here, I would say the strongest influence in my life has been Barack Obama.
He's been the largest influence for your political views and your life?
Yeah.
Okay. In what way? What did?
Because he just seems to have a very balanced view on the world, its people, and the planet.
Okay.
And I haven't seen that before in a politician.
So what was the contrast between your political views over in England versus now? What is altered and changed?
Well, the conservatives in England seem to have a very caring outlook, and they were very concerned about other people in the country. I don't see that in the US. I see the liberals, the Democrats being more concerned about people than I see the Republicans being, and that concerns me. I think we all need to watch out for each other.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happening on the conservative side of the fence over on this side of the Atlantic.
Okay. And then to add on to this, this isn't for the interview, this is for me. What are your views on Brexit? Because you, Mum, and Lewis have talked about it.
But Brexit?
Yeah.
That's the biggest disaster I've seen any country do to themselves. They've really shot themselves in the foot.
And in what way? Why don't you think it would work?
Because the world needs to get on, and Brexit is just a very selfish attitude by England, which I think is going to really backfire on them.
Okay.
They've always been a part of Europe geographically, but politically they've always held themselves back, like they're not part of the European currency. And to me, they should be all in or all out. And it looks like they're going to be all out, which is a complete disaster for the UK.
Okay. Especially with inflation and all that. Okay, so I know the story, but can you tell me the story of when you first saw me?
When I first saw you?
Yeah.
Well, I was in the hospital with Carol, my wife, and my son, Lewis. And we knew that Harris was coming, and we knew exactly when he was coming because my wife had to have a C-section. So we knew date and time when Harris was going to arrive, and none of us knew what to expect. But the minute he came into the maternity ward, during the birth, the birth was quite straightforward, actually, but when Harris came through into the maternity ward after all the tests had been done, he looked at us all with very piercing eyes, and we thought, okay, this one's going to be a challenge. And yeah, he's shaping up to be that challenge.
So the way, just to budge in, the way my mom, Carol, has told me it, is when I walked into the world, I looked at my mom, and I smiled, and the minute I turned to my father and my brother, Lewis, I started crying. And it doesn't seem to see much has changed. So how has being a parent changed you?
Changed me?
Yeah.
Well, it screwed my knees up.
True. Yeah.
Because I used to play a lot of soccer when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And in high school. And I figured that when my kids were old enough, I'd teach them how to play soccer as well. But one thing people didn't tell me, that as a father, when you start teaching your kids how to play soccer, you can't play it like you used to be able to play it, because your body can't keep up with you.
Yeah.
And I thought I could still do all the same running and dribbling skills that I always used to be able to do. But I very quickly found out that if I did that, then my knees would suffer, and sure enough, they have done.
Okay. So what have you changed being a parent from when you raised Lewis and when you raised me?
No, I don't think I have. I've always thought the way to parent is to treat the kids like adults and let them make their own decisions, as long as that doesn't endanger them.
Okay.
So I think that's worked so far.
And with me and Lewis varying in how we were growing up, me being the younger child, so I have more exposure to things, is first off with Lewis, I like learned firsthand. Lewis started driving when he was 18, and I want to drive when I'm 16. Do you think anything will change, or do you think the game plan will be the same going through?
Well, I think all the way through, the first child has to hack their way through the jungle.
Yeah.
And the second one really runs down the tracks that the first one's already laid out.
Yeah.
And then when they do start hacking through the jungle, it can be a little bit more challenging because they haven't learned the lessons along the way. So I think as you start to find your own path, Aris, there's going to be challenges that your brother can't help you out with.
Yeah.
And I think you're already seeing that.
Yeah, of course.
But I think pretty much we try to bring you up, you know, we try to treat you as much as we can the same, but you can never, you know, that's an ideal. You can never treat them the same because there's different challenges with the first and there is the second.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. If you could do anything again, would you raise me differently? Kind of basing off the same, but...
Yeah, well, one thing I'd like to have done more of, and it hasn't financially been possible, would be to travel the world a bit more with both of you.
Yeah, of course.
And we want to try and patch in some of that over the next couple of years before you both leave the house.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to see how other people live in the world.
Yeah, I think that's been the one thing me and Lewis have lacked in of perspective of other things.
Yeah.
You know, we never see how other people live or how good we have it here, being like 15 minutes away from the beach, or the weather always being nice. And
yeah, it's kind of tough because I've traveled a fair amount of the world, and I know that California is probably one of the places in the world that's in the top 5 places to live in the world.
Yeah.
But when you bring kids up here, they don't have that perspective. You know, yeah. You tell them that, but until they experience it for themselves, they're not going to really understand how good they've got it in California.
Okay. And would you think the way you raised us would change if we lived anywhere else? If we lived in the middle of Timbuktu or New York City?
Yeah, I'd probably be a bit more protective than I have been.
In which area?
Well, in letting you guys you've been brought up in a pretty safe environment up in the mountains.
Yeah.
I think it would have even been different if you'd been down in Los Gatos. But if you'd lived in different areas that were notably more dangerous, I'd have taken a much more close eye on you to make sure that you didn't get into trouble.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Because this is a pretty safe area.
Yeah.
Both up on the mountains and down here.
Yeah, it's pretty safe.
But if you'd been in the middle of the Bronx in New York City or up in the middle of Oakland, I might have taken a bit more of a close view.
Yeah.
Although I've learned a lot about Oakland since I've been here, and it's not as tough as a lot of people think it is.
No, yeah. Especially traveling there with basketball, you get... That's the most of a different perspective I've gotten on life.
Yeah.
So far, traveling with basketball. And what's the hardest moments when I or Lewis was growing up that you've encountered already?
The hardest moment? I think the toughest time is teenage years.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those situations where you don't know what you don't know, but you're getting the opportunity to go out into the world and learn things, and that can be quite a dangerous period of life. I know, looking back on what I did in my teenage years and early college years, and some of the things I do, I still, you know, send shivers down my spine still today. Just things that I did that would have affected my physical well-being.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't ever try drugs. I never intended to try drugs, but the temptations are a little bit stronger over here to try those different experiences.
Yeah, especially the way they're glorified in culture.
Yeah, but I hope we've brought you up to the point where you know where the bounds are, and it's okay to try these things, but know where the bounds are.
I think that's one thing you and mom have done a really good job with me and Lewis is, you start to see, or I start to see kids now, you know, twiddle with these because they've been kind of babied all the way up. So like, they haven't had a phone until high school. So when they get a phone, they go crazy. Or they haven't been, you know, their parents don't drink alcohol in front of them. So when alcohol is put in front of them, they don't know how to handle themselves.
I feel that really strongly actually over here is that the culture over here hasn't got a good handle on things like drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
Particularly alcohol. I think for it to be illegal to drink alcohol before you're 21 is outright crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was brought up, I was always able to drink wine at Sunday lunch with my parents, even when I was 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
And as a result, you know, when I was 18, 19, it was no big deal.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay, I'll have a glass of wine, or okay, I'll have a beer. But then a lot of my buddies who were not able to drink alcohol until they were 18, 19, when they did, they went absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably the same with drugs over here. I think, you know, you need to have a balanced view on all this. But I, you know, to be able to go and fight as a soldier in the nation's army at 16, but not be able to drink a beer until you're 21 is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. But yeah, the way me and Lewis have been brought up is we both have seen how successful you and mom have been and kind of want to follow in those footsteps and know that there can be a lot of things to kind of fault the view. But the way we've been brought up, we both know and kind of ride each other's back of we both want to go places.
Right.
And we, you know, keep each other in check and check in with each other. And neither of us really want to get into those things because it can prevent us from reaching the end goal.
Right.
And I don't think we would have that mindset or point of view of, you know, playing the long-term game rather than the short-term game if we hadn't have been brought up this way.
Yeah.
Of seeing our parents get that far and do so much and knowing, you know, they didn't mess around with any of that. So if we don't, we might be able to get there as well.
Yeah. I think you've got to keep your eye on the goal all the time.
Yeah.
And be clear what that goal is. But you have to decide what those goals are fairly on.
Yeah.
Fairly early on.
Yeah.
And then just stay focused on them.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's been a big thing, the way me and Lewis have been raised, is we both are playing kind of the end game of wanting to get far. And, you know, Lewis with balance is pushing forth. And me with music and coding is pushing forth.
Yeah.
And I don't think we would go for it if we weren't supported by our parents or if we just weren't brought up the way we were.
Yeah.
I don't
think and we will always support your dreams, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Harris, as far as we're able.
Yeah. Yeah.
We weren't able to get Lewis to close to his dream with Formula One, but you know, whenever it's possible, we will get you towards your goals.
Yeah, with NJB the.
Yeah.
coaching that year, so when did you decide that you wanted to pursue engineering? Like, what was the
When I was at high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but my dad was an engineer in the Royal Navy. So he, you know, that was the path that he knew and kind of tried to guide me onto.
Yeah.
But, so when I got to university, I wasn't that particularly strong at math at school, and I did extra studies to understand math a bit more closely. And that stood me in good stead because when I was at university, I ended up being one of the best in the year at math. And that really got me into analytical engineering where, you know, I would model the physical world using equations.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that. I did a lot of that, you know, early in my career at Western Helicopters before I got involved in computer design. But that was a real fun thing to do. And it was the early days of computers as well. So it, you know, helped me understand computers. Makes me realize how powerful the computers are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've got more computing power in my pocket than I used to have on IBM mainframes back in the day.
Yeah. Which is crazy. What have been some kind of rituals you've kept from, like, from your childhood bring yourself, like, for example, with chess, me and Lewis are getting really into chess, and that was your childhood game. Are there anything that me and Lewis don't really notice but have kind of been a taboo, in a manner of words?
No, not really. I think I think just all the way through, just respect, you know, respect people that you're with. Sometimes they let you down, but always start off from a position of respect for people.
Yeah.
It's been gratifying to me to watch how you and Lewis have picked up chess and are enthusiastic with chess, because, you know, a lot of the games nowadays, it's instant gratification, whereas chess, you can't be that way, because you're going to lose pretty quickly. Yeah. If you are.
Yeah.
You've really got to stop and think, okay, if I move there, what's that going to affect me, you know, 4 or 5 moves down the line?
Yeah.
And that it is a challenging game, and you've really got to step back and look at it. And I've been pretty amazed how you and Lewis have picked up chess, and also, you know, that how you've progressed fairly quickly in the game.
Yeah.
And it is a fun game. I mean, you're very quickly beat me at it.
Yeah.
You know, I can just I can be a bit of a bully on the chess board at the moment, but that's not going to last for long, I know.
No. Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy how when we first started playing, I think you checkmated me in 4 moves.
Right.
And the instant gratification was me. It was like I went and I studied all these algorithms and moves, like the London system.
Yep.
And I was able to, like, stretch you out to 15.
Yeah.
So I started to see it was working. And then, like, just last night or something, I checkmated you in 5 minutes on that speed chess board.
See, I get complacent. I think, oh, this is just playing my son here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I forget that you've learned, you know, quite a lot over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I see, like, me and Lewis, when we... Kind of cool with me and Lewis of competing with each other but loving each other is... We both played chess against each other, and it was loving, but it was a lot of smack talk and competitiveness, which made us both go back to our corners and really, like, dive into the game and go at it strong. So now every time we sit down, we're playing at a much higher level, but it's still just playing my brother. But it's like that applies to so many different things. So you're always going at each other, and it's something to, you're always progressing, but you're always proud of the other one for progressing above you.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah. Okay, so I think that's about time, but thank you for letting me interview you.
You're welcome, Aris. We should have more talks like this, because we'll learn a lot from each other.
Yeah, we should. Okay, well.
Cool. Is that enough?